Are you going to put your acapella news out there on the internet?
Please do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to. You got to. That monstrosity needs to be on the internet. It has to be.
You say monstrosity. I say masterpiece.
Both can be true.
Both can be true, man.
Both can be true.
I mean, look, you know, look. I think people who have listened to 99.9 The Fan long enough know that I have an appreciation for trash. Okay? I do. I'm like the Oscar the Grouch when it comes to trash content. There is beauty in the trash. I like trash snacks. I like trashy programming, like so cheesy, like it's so terrible you gotta like it, right? Dennis Cox's acapella news in the last segment was like chef's kiss. It's so awful, you're mesmerized by it. Like, I don't think people appreciate things that can be so bad that you have no choice but to, well, how much more terrible can it get?
It's like the ugly dog that can't help but be
yes!
cute.
Yes!
Yeah.
Thank
I
you.
I agree. That's exactly what that was.
It's like those hairless cats. You know what I'm saying? You're like, that thing is, I can't stop looking at it.
Yeah. That's me when it comes to acapella.
There was a movie that I saw one time in the theater called Johnny Mnemonic. It was it had Keanu Reeves in it, Dolph Lundgren. Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Ice-T
Drago,
was in it.
Drago, yeah.
It was Drago. It was so terrible. I still felt compelled. I didn't walk out of the movie. So yeah,
you had to stay.
I had to stay. How bad could... I've only ever walked out of one movie. Ever.
Feels like a you're full of it question.
I've only ever walked out of one movie.
Okay.
It was called Drop Dead Fred, I think it was called. It was like some comedy about somebody's imaginary friend that actually came to life. It was so terrible I walked out of the movie. Anyway, it's Wednesday. It's the summer. It's time to give you a top 4-4. And today's top 4-4 features sauces. Not my sauces. Shout out to Shannon Penn, former producer of this program. Sauces. Because I feel like people are going to be slathering some sauces on things this weekend with July 4th coming up and all the cookouts. Jillio. Your number 4 sauce.
So, went to Mookie's New York Deli.
Mm-hmm.
Last night. Two nights ago. Got a latke, a potato pancake. Mm-hmm. Comes with sour cream and applesauce.
Ooh.
Applesauce.
Yeah. Never been a fan of applesauce.
Oh.
Not gonna lie.
I'm not a fan of applesauce.
Not a fan.
I love applesauce. Applesauce.
Dennis.
Cold applesauce?
No.
A little pork chop?
Can't do it. I don't know why. I don't mind apples, but for maybe it's the consistency of applesauce. I've never been able to get into it.
Got to be cold.
Dennis, your number 4 sauce.
A nice green chili enchilada sauce. Not a red enchilada sauce, but a green
you're
chili
a green,
enchilada
you're
sauce.
You're a tomatillo guy?
Yeah.
All right, I'm with you on that one. My number 4 sauce is A1 sauce.
Okay.
Underrated, number 1.
Whoa.
A1.
Nice.
Wait,
where are you putting it?
Sometimes the steak is going to suck, and the only thing that can save it is A1 sauce, man. It's the only thing that can save it. If I'm not going to name the burger place, but sometimes the burgers come out a little bland, a little A1 sauce on that bad boy fixes it right up. Seriously, it is A1 is the greatest masking agent for all steak. Steak's a little tough, slather A1 on it. Won't even be able to tell the difference. So shout out to A1. A1 is like, keep it as an emergency. On my big board, by the way, was Heinz 57. Heinz 57 will do the same thing. You put Heinz 57, it'll nuke anything, and it'll overcome something that's cooked badly. Why are you making a face at me about A1? I'm right about A1. Your number 3 sauce.
If you have a steak that's not very good,
mm-hmm.
you should have creamy horseradish with it. Not A1, sir.
No, I need the A1.
The number, my number 3 is a creamy horseradish sauce. 4, prime rib in particular.
And it's good on a prime
but,
rib.
But little versatility, maybe a little oyster.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm.
I like that. Your number 3, Dennis.
I like the versatility of this when it's done right, a nice marinara sauce. You have good with pasta, mozzarella sticks. You can even use it if you want for pizza.
Give me a nice marinara. I will admit that there's a brand of marinara that you can buy at Wegmans called Don Pepino's. Mm. It's at the bottom of the it's on the bottom shelf. It's in a can. It's Jersey tomatoes, they say. To me, I will find just give me a crusty bread because I just want that to be the vehicle for Don Pepino's marinara sauce. I'm in on that. There's one of like Michael's of Brooklyn that you told me about. That one's pretty good too. That's like a Sunday sauce kind of deal. That one's actually pretty good. Sunday sauce on my big board, but did not make my list because number three, I don't know the name of it. I just know it's that green sauce from Mommy Nora's.
Oh.
It's got a sting. It's got a sting to it. I really don't know what it is. I don't need to know what it is. All I know is that it's green, and I'll put it on everything at Mommy Nora's.
That actually makes up for your awful A1 choice.
Absolutely not. I still ride by A1. So that green sauce, you can do the yuca fries, dip the yuca fries in the green sauce. Money. When it's
chicken. Gotta have the chicken.
When it's Taco Tuesday over at Mommy Nora's, put that green sauce on to take it up a notch. I'm a big fan. Get the yellow sauce out of my face. I don't know what the yellow sauce is. I don't know what that yum-yum sauce is. Give me the green every single day. All right, number two sauce. Top four sauces.
Dinosaur slathering sauce from the Dinosaur Barbecue, Syracuse, Rochester, Brooklyn, Harlem, you name it. It's not quite a red. It's not quite a barbecue, but it's somewhere in the middle, and it's freaking delicious on wings.
I'll check that out. Dennis, your number two sauce.
My number two, I was almost going to go with a nice saucer pass, you know, in hockey. I almost went with that, but no, I'm actually going to go with the garlic parmesan sauce that they have at Sharky's on the wings that they put on there. Fantastic.
I've been to Sharky's.
Oh, the wings are so good.
Shout out to Sharky's, which is quite possibly quite possibly the greatest neighborhood bar in the world. Their wings are good.
They're fantastic. Best wings I've had in Raleigh.
Their wings are good. And shout out to the waiter who the last time I was at Sharky's, I haven't tried their pizza rolls yet, but he straight up told me, you're not drunk enough for that yet. I went, you know what? I respect your honesty. He's like, you would only appreciate these if you were hammered. I was like, you know what, man? Shout out to you. And I put it off. I tried to crush some high lifes to get to that point, but it just wasn't there yet. I thought, you know, it's funny. I thought you were going to say the garlic parmesan sauce that comes with every Papa John's pizza.
No.
Because that took me back for a second, but you're right. The Sharky's sauce is really, really good.
It's fantastic.
The number two sauce for me is Cuban ketchup. You're probably wondering, Ovias, what the hell is Cuban ketchup? Like most things that are Cuban, they take Americanized things and then add a little something to them. So in the case of Cuban ketchup, it comes with the Frida. You're asking, what is a Frida? Well, that's a Cuban hamburger. Cuban hamburger comes with a combination of ground meats. Chorizo is key to give it that red and give it a little kick to it. Ground pork, ground beef. Fry that bad boy up. Then you put fried potato strings on top of that, and then you drizzle the Cuban ketchup. Now, you can fancy up Cuban ketchup with, you know, with a reduction of caramelized onions, but really it is putting adobo and some other seasonings in with the ketchup, and you also have to heat it up, too. You got to heat this up. It's not cold ketchup. You got to heat this stuff up, put it on top of the Frida, press it, and you're good to go. That's my number two. Your number one sauce, Jillio.
Yeah, bolognese, meat sauce, a little bit of garlic, onion, the meat, obviously.
That's kind of key, yeah.
Tomato,
yeah.
Red wine, parmesan. End of story.
Dennis, your number one sauce.
Frank Kaminsky talking about barbecue.
Is that a type of food in your world, or is that like a style of cooking in your world?
It's a sauce in my world.
Yes. Frank Kaminsky asked about barbecue, and he says it's a sauce in my world. He was drafted by the Hornets.
That is a callback. Shout out to David Glenn.
Yeah,
that was part of the David Glenn show when Kaminsky, Wisconsin guy, ends up getting drafted by the Hornets. A Badger, Nintendo 64 legend Frank Kaminsky.
So, yeah, I had to throw it back to that.
Yeah, you did have to throw it back to that. Mm-hmm. My number one sauce is Old Bay Hot Sauce. Old Bay Hot Sauce changed the game.
Old Bay Hot Sauce?
Oh, you don't know?
No. I mean, I'm not a hot sauce person.
Oh, you don't know about Old Bay Hot Sauce? No. Have you done Old Bay wings?
I've had Old Bay on wings, I guess. So
no, yeah, you basically slather Old Bay on wings, fry them up. They're delicious. Mm-hmm. But they actually do make Old Bay Hot Sauce. This is why I don't buy cocktail sauce anymore. Oh. Am I doing crab cakes? Am I doing, I don't know, shrimp or whatever it is? Heck, oysters? Put the Old Bay Hot Sauce on it. It's a game changer. I'll even put Old Bay Hot Sauce on mac and cheese to kick it up a notch. So you all didn't know about Old Bay Hot Sauce?
No.
I've never had Old Bay Hot Sauce.
Get it. It'll change your life. Okay. It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. Is salsa a sauce?
I mean, in Spanish.
Right? But you could dip things in sauce, too. On my big board, by the way.
Isn't the literal translation of the word sauce?
Sauce.
Okay.
Some people will say it's not salsa. Salsa is not a sauce. I don't know why.
Okay.
But I agree. It is a sauce. On my big board, I had the McDonald's barbecue sauce.
Mm.
The one that comes in the packet.
Yeah.
That goes with your chicken nuggets.
Sweet and sour is better, but yeah.
Especially someone said Chick-fil-A sauce.
Chick-fil-A sauce. A lot of people chiming in with Chick-fil-A sauce. But shout out to the people who bring up Polynesian sauce at Chick-fil-A. That's my jam. I love the Polynesian sauce. So that was your top four for sauces. He did an acapella of the news in the last hour that I described as trash, but I have an appreciation for trash. And somebody backed me up on this. Dennis, what did somebody tell you that acapella of the news was like?
It was the Velveeta cheese of acapella of the news.
That is an amazing compliment. I really cannot put it better than that listener put it. The Velveeta of acapella, because Velveeta is the backbone of so many things and people don't even know it. It's a cheese. It's not real cheese.
It's a processed cheese spread.
I don't even know what it is, but it comes in these blocks, but nothing melts like it, man.
It's a sauce.
Grilled cheese, Velveeta grilled cheese is the best grilled cheese you'll ever have. People try to fancy it up with Gruyere, some sort of melting Swiss or what. No. Put some Velveeta chunks on that bread, grill it. You'll never have a better grilled cheese. I'm just saying. Oh, you got to butter the bread too. That's always good too.
Are you going to put terrible A1 sauce on there too?
Look, let me clarify something about top four sauces and what I had to say about A1.
That would be like so. That wouldn't even be on a list.
A1 is a Band-Aid. I think A1 comes through in the clutch. It's always available. It's always there. And if you get served something at a restaurant and you're just going to have to tough it out and eat it, dude, A1 will absolutely erase mistakes. It's like the Tide pen of sauces, okay? Anyway, Chris Lee's in the WREL-TV5 newsroom. Chris, what's up, man?
The Tide pen of the sauces, the Velveeta cheese of acapella news.
Yeah, man.
It's a lot of great stuff happening right now.
There's a lot of. Can you tell we're hungry?
It sounds like it.
We're very hungry right now.
Absolutely.
You know what, Chris? I bet you could serve up some sort of meat substitute for me. I put A1 on it. I'd love it.
Probably. I made this nice tempeh bacon sandwich for my wife yesterday. Mm-hmm. With a nice little maple syrup glaze, and she really enjoyed it. It wouldn't need A1,
okay.
But I bet it would bang with A1 though. Like you dipped it.
That's true love right there. He made her fake bacon with maple, a maple glaze
bacon.
That's true love.
That's true. That's good for you, man.
It's real tempeh though.
You rocking that Hawaiian print on TV today?
No.
This is just. Yeah, this is just the pregame, but you know I'm still in vacation dad mode right now.
I see that. I like that. I like that.
So I wanted to rock this today.
Mm. So. I'm a fan of that Hawaiian print.
I have a nice blue suit today, so it matched my pants. You can't see my pants right now, but it just matched my pants really well.
All right, what do we got coming up on the Cinco Grande today, man?
Yeah, so of course, you know, Brian Murphy, our WRL Sports investigative journalist, you guys talked to him last hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talked about the $15 million earmarked for the ACC to stay in Charlotte. I had a chance to speak to him really quick, so we'll have him on there at 6 o'clock talking about that. We also have some big-time baseball in the area, USA collegiate team. They're getting their stuff together, and they're practicing today. Casey Hintz will have a package on them later on tonight. But they have, just so everybody knows, they have a game at the Carey Complex tomorrow, and also three games at the DBAP on the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd coming up. So we'll be talking about that throughout the week. If people want to see some great baseball action, Vance Honeycutt is on the team. That's happening this week in our area. So that's something that you may want to look into. Also, we know that Roy Williams is a Hall of Fame coach, but he will be formally put in the Hall of Fame, the Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame this year. We'll talk about that. That's happening in October. We'll be talking about that as well. And also previewing the NCFC game against the Greenville Triumph on WRAL Sports Plus, which you can watch at 7 o'clock.
Okay, very, very cool. Chris Lee in the WRAL TV5 Palapa, where he's hanging out in his Hawaiian polo. Yeah, you just, I don't know, you got any tiki torches back there?
No, I don't.
A little umbrella, drink, a little umbrella drink?
I was going to say, Dennis is from Charlottesville. He might have the tiki torches on. I don't know.
Chris.
Chris. Love you, Dennis. It's just a little joke.
Wow. Okay. All right, man. We'll talk to you later. We'll talk to you
later.
Sorry,
did I make it dark in here? Sorry about that.
No, it's pretty.
Let's bring the mood back up. Sauce, everybody. Yes. Let's talk about sauce.
Hikes.
We've got sauces. See you guys.
All right, man. It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. If you miss anything from today's show, you can check it out on the Best of the OG podcast. What are you gesturing about?
Just, you're going to get there, and you're going to get my reaction.
Oh, is it about the gigantic new Taco Bell that's including a 16-pound Cheez-It?
No, I did see an eagle or a hawk devouring a squirrel this morning, though, on the T-Box.
Oh, wow, that's quite
It was
thing.
Quite unsettling.
That is, all right, that's quite
Not going to lie to you.
Right, you'll have to tell me about it in a little bit. So we've got a new podcast. Well, it's not necessarily new. We've been doing it through the summer. And shout out to everybody who's listened to it, has provided feedback on A Brief History of Triangle Sports. It's brought to you by Copiers Plus, your printing and office solutions provider. You can check them out online at copiers-plus.com. So with A Brief History of Triangle Sports, if you're not familiar with what we've been doing this summer, is highlighting certain eras or particular stories within these eras throughout the years here in the Triangle to help you understand why sports matters here, why people are the way they are about their teams, or fun little facts that you might not have been aware of. We got people moving here all the time. They might not be familiar with those dynamics, or young people who are fans of what they're watching locally, but might not have any sort of historical context as to why these things matter the way that they do. And the folks who have helped me do this are the people who have been closely tied to these events. Sometimes it's play-by-play. Sometimes it's the local sports anchor. In this particular case, with this episode, we talked to somebody who you probably don't know because they've never been a front-facing person in media, or they have not played, or they weren't a coach. His name is Rusty Helzer. Rusty's been working here at Capital Broadcasting since I think 1980, I believe, was the first year. It's been decades. He's been working here for a very, very long time. My first interaction with Rusty actually was when I was at NC State, when I was working at WKNC, the student-run radio station, and I was there from 1998 through 2001 when I graduated. And part of my job at WKNC included making sure that NC State baseball games got on the air. When you're a college student, we're not exactly the most reliable people. Hungover, in a class, any number of reasons why those games might not get on the air, okay? It is what it is. And on the control board at WKNC, there was a post-it note, and it said, Rusty Helzer, master control, and the phone number. And it was to make sure that the person back here, what was the old radio station, just in case he had any issues. Sometimes Rusty would call, anybody there? Is this game going to get on the air? Be like, yeah, Rusty, we're good, etc. I never met Rusty. Fast forward 10 years later, in 2009, when I start working at Capital Broadcasting in the fall of 2009, I actually got to meet Rusty. And Rusty's been behind the scenes for a very long time. What you might not know, on top of the fact of what he does, he's helped start up radio networks. The station probably doesn't function without Rusty. Not, I can't say probably. It would not
function. You don't need to qualify that.
I'm not going to qualify it. It would not function without Rusty. But Rusty grew up in Raleigh. Rusty literally grew up across the street from NC State, the campus. And he was around for, it's like a running joke. I'm like, oh, Rusty, you must have been around when David Thompson had that pickup game that got NC State in trouble. And Rusty would be like, well, actually, yeah, I was. Or, what'd you do? Did you hoop it up with Pistol Pete back in the day? Actually, yeah, I did. I got hit in the face with a basketball with Pistol Pete. Huh? So these are the kinds of stories that Rusty has. And Rusty worked very closely with former NC State basketball coach Jim Valvano. Jim Valvano would do the coach's show. He also would do these things, these Valvano's thoughts, these four-minute, two-minute vignettes where he just
shot a V to go.
Basically, that's what it was. He would talk about whatever it was he wanted to talk about, a variety of topics, and Rusty helped put those things together, recorded, et cetera. So you develop a relationship with somebody like that over time. And Rusty, for as much as he's been around NC State's campus and saw particular moments, he actually was not there in 1993 when the 10-year reunion of the 1983 NC State championship team had their moment in February of 1993. And this was when Jim Valvano was at the tail end of his fight with cancer. And this was the speech before the speech. We all know the Jimmy V ESPY speech. And it gets replayed on ESPN during V Week. It's a very inspirational speech. A lot of us know it by heart. But for the old timers, the NC State fans who were in Reynolds Coliseum that night, they'll know that that speech hit a little differently, that it was even more impactful for the crowd that was there. And Rusty wasn't there for that one. But he also knew about Jim Valvano's cancer battle because he had gotten a call from Pam Valvano. And this is the part of the podcast, and you can listen to the whole thing wherever you get your podcast. But this is me and Rusty talking about when he found out about Valvano's cancer diagnosis and how things were towards the end.
Well, Pam called me, I guess it was in June 1992, and I was in the newsroom, and Pam gave him a call, and I heard a lot of background noise and stuff. I knew she wasn't at home, and she said, "Rusty, are you sitting down?" And I said, "No, that's not good." And so Pam said, "I'm at the mall. My mind's starting to race a little bit." Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Yes, I'm at the mall. I'm away from the girls." And I went, "I'm sitting down." Mm-hmm. And she said, "People from all over the world have talked to me, and all the money in the world is available to me. But, you know, Jim went to play golf the other day." And I said, "Yeah, I know that." And she said, "Well, he went to the doctor because he had felt a twinge in his back." And she said, "All the money in the world is not going to do any good. It's all over him." Mm. "And they're giving him 2 months to live." And I went, "Pam, I'm so sorry." And I'm thanking her because she wanted to talk to me before she met the media, before it was announced. And my heart just went out to her at that time because she was going home after she talked to me. She was going to go home and tell the girls. And that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. That's really hard. So she wanted to, if I was a practice dummy, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, but she wanted me to know. And Jim and I had been friends for so long. And of course I'd known Pam for a long time too. And this is the same Pam that in summer times would put Jim on a diet and hang a suit in the closet and say, "You've got to get into that by the end of the summer," because he'd gain weight during basketball season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I didn't expect any of this, but I wanted to thank her at the end of this and just say, Pam, you were always a very gracious lady. And just so very nice, and I just really appreciated her letting me know before anybody else like that. And that was basically the end of it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I knew Kay Yao real well, and she had cancer. I held her up in the studio while she cut a breast cancer awareness spot. And I'm going to end on a good note by saying that I got Kay out of the studio and I sat her in the newsroom, and time was short for Kay at that point. And Sylvia Hatchell gave me a call, and Sylvia said, "Rusty, how's Kay?" And I said, "Well, hold on a second, Sylvia. She's sitting in the newsroom." And I was able to hand the phone off from Sylvia to Kay so they could speak. And it just was just a great moment for me because they were such close friends. And that was a good way probably to end this because I don't have anything else to say.
Well, Rusty, yeah. this was the reason why I wanted to do this, because part of this podcast series was telling smaller stories that tie into a lot of larger stories. And you're certainly a part of that because of if people liked hearing things on the radio, well, you're a reason why those things managed to happen, Rusty.
Yeah. And the dichotomy of all this is, and you've heard me say this, all of the energy that Jim had the whole time I was around him. I mean, my conversation with Terry Gannon, and this wasn't real long ago, and Terry Gannon said, "There's no way I could have done all of this if I hadn't come here and played for Jim, if I hadn't been around him. He inspired me to do a lot of the things that I've done." And then to hear Pam's words trying to explain this to me, that jolted me. And, I mean, the next thing I knew, I was in the studio with Tony Haynes, and we were doing a Jim Valvano Remembered 30-minute program or hour-long program. And that's the last thing I remember of all this. I've tried to put the rest of it aside.
So that's a portion of A Brief History of Triangle Sports, which features Rusty Helzer, who has worked at Capital Broadcasting for decades and worked closely with a lot of your favorite coaches and making sure that things got on the air the way they're supposed to be, whether it was in the recorded form or live, or getting games to where they needed to be across various networks. And, you know, look, Triangle Sports, we've been blessed with a lot of great players, iconic players, larger-than-life coaching personalities. You know, we've got columnists that we've known and loved and read, you know, local sports anchors, Tom Suter, part of that in A Brief History of Triangle Sports. But the funny thing about our business is that we have exponentially more people behind the scenes that you will never see, you will never hear from, who have been just as important to how all these things work. And I wanted to make sure that Rusty got his part in this brief history of Triangle Sports, because that guy has seen some things. He has been tangentially a part of so much stuff in the Triangle.
Yeah.
That I wanted to get that out there. So go check that out wherever you get your podcasts: Apple, Spotify, Google, you name it. 5 stars only. Positive vibes only. If you're not familiar with Big Game Boomer, he's a real person. I was of the thought that this was a troll account. It had to be a bot. It was somebody that was doing some sort of performance art just for the engagement. And Big Game Boomer would put out lists. And I'm like, where the hell are you coming up with this list? And there was one that was related to NC State that broke my brain. And I think NC State was most overrated college football team going into the season. I believe that was the one after he had actually put NC State in his, oh, no, I know what it was. It was top tier. NC State was a top tier college football program going into the season. It broke my brain. I'm like, this guy knows that NC State fans will lap this up. This can't be real. So we reached out to Big Game Boomer. He came on the show, and he's very much real. And we put respect. The guy understands how to work the engagement game, man.
Nobody was also great on our program. So
he was.
Shouts to him.
Shout outs to Big Game Boomer. He's got a new list. Very excited about this. The 25 most least sensitive college fan bases. Most sensitive, he put Arkansas number one, Texas number two, Florida number three, Kentucky number 4, and Oklahoma, number 5. In his top 20 of most sensitive, he put NC State 16th, Clemson 17th. Interesting. Least sensitive, Wisconsin is number 1. He put Alabama at 18. Least sensitive, Alabama? What are you talking? Auburn at 20th? Least sensitive? I'm not so sure about that. We got a Hey Joe question earlier that we did not have time to get to, but I do think it ties into Big Game Boomers. Top 20 and least sensitive college football fan bases.
Before you do that, sir.
Yes.
It's not Festivus, but there is an airing of grievances here. Number 8 on least sensitive. Virginia?
Right.
Excuse me?
Right.
Tweet once about Kihei Clark. Just once.
Uh-huh.
About Kihei Clark. And you're the fool.
So I thought.
Least sensitive. Boomer.
I don't know if Big Game. Well, he could be talking specifically about college football fans. And I don't know if Virginia football fans are that sensitive in the same way that Virginia basketball fans are.
They're the same person, but that's fair. This may be for football exclusively.
So somebody had asked us for Hey Joe that we did not have time to get to because I felt like it required a much more fleshed out conversation. And they asked us what our top 3 most sensitive ACC fan bases are going into this upcoming season. That's an easy one to knock out. For me, number 1, most sensitive fan base right now, number 1 spot, and they've worked hard to get here. I commend them. North Carolina fans. North Carolina fans are the most sensitive fan base at this moment. I'm not saying of all time. I'm not saying, you know, whatever. I'm saying as of this moment, North Carolina fans are the most sensitive on a variety of topics.
To recap, North Carolina's football team allowed NC State to score twice in the last 2.5 minutes of a game that they had a 99.9% probability to win. And I'm the jerk for pointing out that the five-star player in the secondary, I don't know, maybe should have covered somebody.
You're the jerk.
But I'm the bad guy.
Or during the basketball season, it was everything is going to hell in a handbasket because of Hubert
Davis. Well,
they
were 8-3. Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness, what about Wes Miller? Whew. What about this? What about that? Hubert Davis, of course, turns that season around, and then they beat Duke in the most critical rivalry moments of all time, and now can't tell North Carolina fans nothing. And if you remind them, hey, guys, you know, you weren't so sold on Hubert Davis at the beginning of the season. What changed? And suddenly it's like, what are you talking about? That's not true. That you're painting the fan base in the wrong light. Like, y'all don't know I can see your stuff. Anyway, number 2 is NC State. That's actually led by their coaching staff sometimes. Not just the fans, but the coaching staff. And they know where the red meat is to be given. You know, no clue at all. Or when NC State beats Carolina, as you mentioned. You're focused on the UNC fans that were annoyed at you by pointing these things out. I was annoyed at the NC State people who were like, what do you got to say now, Ovias? What do you mean, what I got to say now? What are you talking about? I've been saying you've had a pretty damn good season all year. And if you want respect, do stuff like that more often. Like what? I'm not coming at you cross-eyed. Like, what are you talking about? And then number 3 in terms of sensitive fan bases. Oh, this one's easy. Florida State. Florida State football is in a very sensitive place right now for a variety of reasons. And they're still blaming Jimbo Fisher for the state of things as though they don't have their own reasons for being in dire straits. A lot of that has to be a lot of that has to do with bad administrative decisions on Florida State's part. And of course, their budgetary issues. So what's your top 3?
No, I'm with you. You're saying sensitive, though?
Sensitive.
Oh, Miami, they don't have that many fans.
Mm-hmm.
They have more fans on Twitter than they have in real life.
You're saying they have bots?
But if you so much, particularly at this time of the year, start talking about them Canes, oh, you're going to hear it, sir.
Okay.
And then the second they're 4-4 in the league, it's, man, that's Manny Diaz's fault. Man, that's Al Golden's fault. Yeah. Man, that's Butch Davis' fault for not still being here. What? You guys never win anything anymore. Have your own standard, please.
Now, honorary mention honorary mention goes to Virginia Tech football fans, but only for one thing.
Oh, trust me. I noticed Virginia Tech on the least sensitive list, too. You remember when I pointed out Justin Fuente couldn't be all that popular if every freaking player in the program was transferring.
Yeah.
And again, I was the bad guy.
You were the bad guy for pointing that out. But I put Virginia Tech in honorable mention because they're very sensitive when it comes to one particular topic.
Yes, yes. Raining and weather. Is
North Carolina football mentioned?
Oh, in general.
In general. Anytime North Carolina football comes up, Virginia Tech is like, they're on it. Like, it's like they have alerts set for anything related to North Carolina football. And they love to remind you about something that they did to North Carolina. And I'm thinking to myself, what is it about North Carolina that gets Virginia Tech people so sensitive? I'm like, recruiting. Are they still not over the Frank Beamer thing? Look, Dick Bedore made a run, the AD at North Carolina at the time, made a run at Frank Beamer. Frank Beamer turned that around and got raises for his assistant coaches and then eventually retired at North Carolina. Or at Virginia Tech. This is not something you should be. You should be proud that Frank Beamer worked North Carolina into your favor. How dare you come at our king? I don't know. Maybe that's how it was taken. I have no idea. But yeah, Virginia Tech football is very sensitive when it comes to all things North Carolina. Shout out to Big Game Boomer. He got me again.
Got me again, man. And what? 2,300 likes? 2,600 likes?
Whew. He's.
I love the top 25. He only has 20.
He's the engagement king, man.
He's the best.
He is the engagement king. If Notre Dame was an actual member of the ACC, I would include them too. But, oh, look at that. They're going to get sensitive about that topic as well.